Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Dan Grosser Show on 98.7 ESPN. This is Grosser Us. Grosser Us. It's our way of saying thank you to the sports figures out there making headlines.
A brand new, never before heard, fresh edition of Grosser Us to kick off the final hour here of the Dan Grosser Show, 98.7 ESPN. All right, let's get right to it because we've got too many things on our plate this morning. We'll start with basketball. And last night, well, the Orlando Magic stayed alive, right? They beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, held serve at home. That's something that every home team in this series has been able to do. But Cleveland gave it a shot, and Donovan Mitchell really came to play. He had 50, including, get this, all 18 points that Cleveland scored in the final quarter, courtesy of Donovan Mitchell. Now, that's another story for another time, whether it's good, whether it's bad. But nevertheless, a Game 7 for the New York Met fan, Donovan Mitchell. What does he think about it?
I mean, I think it's the best two words in sports, you know, no matter what round it is, first, second, third, finals, like, you know, you just, all the stuff you've done for six games really goes out the window. It's all about, you know, desperation, will, you know, it's going to be just like tonight. And then how do we find ways to continually be relentless? And I have no doubt that we'll show up. I have no doubt Cleveland will show up. And I'm excited to see Cleveland in a Game 7. Just growing up, seeing the finals games and all that, so this is going to be, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. As much as this loss hurts, I'd rather have Game 7 at the crib. So, you know, Cleveland. Let's do it. You know what I'm saying? Let's go out there and we'll be ready.
All right, now humor me for a second here, okay? Individually, you look at the brilliance of that. 50 points, score every one of your team's points in the fourth quarter. Collectively, though, is that really the best thing that you want for your club offensively, especially down in crunch time like that? Like, what does that do for the rhythm of all those other guys out on the court? Like, can you imagine, look, and we spend so much time talking about Donovan Mitchell. Do you want him? Do you not want him? Imagine that type of ball-dominant player on your squad where it's one guy scoring points in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Yep. Something to think about, that's all. All right, let's move on. There was another game last night, and that was the Dallas Mavericks sending the Clippers to the golf course, to the beach, wherever you spend your summer vacation. Mavericks moving on. And I'll tell you, Kyrie, we talked about it earlier in the show. It's almost like the Kyrie that was in Brooklyn all those years. That guy, like, never even existed on the planet because this looks like a totally different human being on the court, off the court, doing interviews. It's amazing. Took over that game in the second half. Mavericks are moving on. And Kyrie Irving, in his career, is unblemished in elimination games. It really is incredible. He's 13-0 as a player in elimination situations. What does his head coach, Jason Kidd, attribute that to?
Well, I would say his teammates, his decision-making of when to go, when to let others go, his basketball IQ is like no other. You know, it's extremely high. His patience, the confidence that his teammates and coaches have in him, that he's going to do the right thing, and you can see that. And so I would say that's why his record is perfect.
Okay, so there has to be a winner, there has to be a loser, right? On the losing end is Ty Lue. He and his Clippers are done for the season. They're no more. The body was still warm, lying on the side of the road. And the media, after the game at his press conference, they're already asking him about the reports of Ty Lue possibly being a candidate for the now vacant Lakers job after Darvin Ham was let go, to which Ty Lue responded this.
Yeah, I don't really have a comment on that. I mean, it's great to be wanted, you know, that's a really good feeling, you know, but like I said, I want to be here and hopefully we're able to solidify that.
Well, I understand that Ty Lue and, you know, LeBron James, they once, you know, made beautiful music together in Cleveland until they didn't. you know, won a championship and everything, but it's like it takes somebody, a unique individual, to want to have to like coach a team that LeBron is a part of. And there's no guarantee that LeBron's even going to be on the Lakers, but how many coaches' blood does he have on his hands in his career? What are we up to, six now? Is it six coaches that LeBron's played for that have been fired under his watch? Six? Yeah. I don't know. Next one, Harv.
Grasa us.
All right, let's keep the basketball theme going because, you know, yesterday we talked a lot about the Patrick Beverley nonsense. And, you know, Patrick Beverley, who's vacationing at another part in the universe, and, you know, his feet haven't come back down to planet Earth, and decided to chastise a member of the media in the locker room after the Bucks ouster the other night because she wasn't a subscriber to his podcast. But true story, would not answer a question from her because she didn't subscribe to his podcast. Well, Draymond Green also has a podcast, so you could attribute this to podcast wars. The podcast wars. And here was Draymond talking about the Pat Bev fiasco on his.
Pat Bev threw a ball at a fan last night. Pat keep having these instances after they lose, like in these playoff games. That one might have been crazier than the CP push because it opens up an entirely different can of worms. Like, Adam gonna have a problem on his hands with this one because it's about as close as you can get to going in the stands. That is forbidden for us. Then Pat didn't follow it up very well because he followed it up with getting into it with the female reporter about not subscribing to his podcast.
You subscribe to my pod?
Do I subscribe to you? I do not.
So you can't interview me then?
I ain't never heard somebody say, if you ain't subscribed to my podcast, don't ask me a question. I actually try to take the complete opposite approach because I am very appreciative of the NBA supporting podcasts the way they do. Pat, you can't keep having these moments, man, at the end of these losses. You starting to look like the kid that's going to grab the ball and say, I'm going home. This is, I can't play. We out of here. We leaving the park. It's my ball. Come on, Pat.
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I actually agree with Draymond Green. Maybe like for the first time in my life, like I agree with something that Draymond said. You know what I thought would have been hilarious? When Pat Bev asked her if she subscribed to the podcast, what if she said yes, and then he made her like pull out like proof that she subscribes? And like just halted the press conference altogether until she provided documented proof that she subscribes to the Pat Beverley podcast. And think about it. This show, all the other shows across the United States of America that are talking about this story, you know what that is? That's promotion for his podcast. So it's almost like we're buying in. He's like an evil genius. He's a jerk, but he's an evil genius. And yes, I agree with everything that Draymond said. Throwing the ball into this, I couldn't believe I saw that. Like he was playing dodgeball with a basketball, with paying customers that were sitting right behind the bench. He should get suspended a significant amount for the next season. Suspend them 20 games for the start of next season. Seriously. You come to an NBA game and that's what you have to have on your hands, that there's a chance that you might get into a dodgeball match with an NBA player. That's not the fine print on the back of your ticket. Next one, Harv.
Grasa us?
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know what? There's going to be a hockey game tomorrow, finally, between the Rangers and the Hurricanes. According to the NHL, it's just a one-game series. Sudden death, one game, because they haven't announced any other games, which is mind-boggling to me. But nevertheless, Vinny Trocheck, who has been clearly one of the Rangers' most important, best players, he's going to be facing his former team, the Carolina Hurricanes. But there have been a couple of former teams for Vinny, so this is not exactly new territory for him.
Playoff series that we need to get past to get to our goal, winning the Stanley Cup. I've played against these guys a bunch of times already since leaving, and I mean, playing against a former team isn't something that's new to me. I played in Carolina against Florida a lot of times. It's just that, I mean, it happens. Mm-hmm. In this league, you move team to team and play against former teams. It's just another series.
Meantime, Rangers are not here right now without Igor Shesterkin and how well he has played over the last few months. And you know what? You don't believe what I'm saying? Let Mika Zibanejad tell you.
I think having him in that just kind of calms everything down. Obviously, you don't want to give the opponent the big chances, but you know somewhere that he he's able to kind of save us and really help us out in tight scenarios and tight situations. So I mean, that's I would say every team's dream to have a goalie like him, and obviously Quickie the way he's been playing this year. So we're very fortunate. We're aware of how good they are. We definitely don't take that for granted.
That's Mika, Rangers, Canes tomorrow at 4, pregame at 3:30 here on 98.7 NHL. Announce the rest of the damn schedule, please. Next, Harv.
Grasa us.
All right, a little baseball here. Told you about the Yankees. They played a little walk-off last night against the Tigres in the Bronx. Aaron Boone, how much you guys need that win?
Sometimes I get a little annoyed by that. You know, it's always throughout the year, oh, we really needed that one, or we need this, or we got to beat this. You know, it's like, no, we got to play well. And you got to play well over a long period of time to get to where you want to go. So it's really nice when you get a win in this league and get out to a decent start and rack up some wins, however they come. It's important. But, you know, I don't like to get in the we needed this, you know, because I think we're too strong in there and those guys are too focused and tough that you're going to have a bump in the road here and there, and you're going to have a game you feel like you should have won that you lost. And to be successful in this league, you got to be able to handle all that and continually move on and deal with success and failures along the way.
You got to have a unique temperament to be a manager. I say it all the time in baseball, not just to, you know, be able to do the job of being a manager, but just to deal with all the extracurriculars, like dealing with the media. You know, and you have to remember, baseball, it's every single day, 162 times a year. You got to meet with the media before the game. You got to meet with the media after the game. I mean, like, how many new things come across your plate? And sometimes you're just being bombarded with the same question. Like, I guarantee you, that type of question, like, did the Yankees need that win? I bet you if you go back and log the entire 162-game season, Aaron Boone will be asked that question about 28 times. And he's going to have to come up with some answer, each and every one of them. And probably it's all going to sound the same, but slightly rearranged. How about the Mets? Oh, they couldn't keep the ball in the yard last night. They scored a lot of runs, but they also gave up more, unfortunately, and that leads to a loss. One bright spot in the game last night was Brett Baty, who hit not one, but two home runs. Here's his manager, Carlos Mendoza.
Well, I mean, the power, right? The way he drove those two balls was pretty impressive, you know, and we know he's capable of doing that. And he's been having good at-bats. He's always in the fight. And today it was good to see him running through a couple of them.
And as we said, tonight you got yourself a first glimpse of maybe a look into the future with Christian Scott making his big league debut on the mound down there at Tropicana Field. What does the young hurler think about the prospect of stepping on a mound for the first time?
That means a lot. You know, work really hard for this opportunity. Really grateful to be here. You know, just come out and show my stuff, show what I got. I'm confident in what I do. And so just being able to go out there and compete at a high level, and I'm excited to do that for sure.
And what about the Florida native getting a chance to make his big league debut in his home state? No state taxes on top of it. Pretty cool, right?
Pumped up, yeah, especially, you know, home state. Got a lot of family coming, so I'm excited for them to be here for sure. A lot of people supporting me and sacrificed a lot for me to be here, so for sure be able to do this for them is awesome.
How much of that could have cost you tomorrow to take it with?
My dad's going to take care of it, which is awesome. I'm pumped up about that for sure. So yeah, it definitely helps out.
And I'm kidding. Nobody in the media asked him about the state tax thing. I just threw in that little wrinkle myself there. Next one, Harv.
Cross us.
All right, Jets are having rookie minicamp this weekend. Giants are going to be having the rookies come to town next weekend at East Rutherford. So we got to hear from some of the first-year Jets, namely Malachi Corley, the Yak King, yards after catch, Western Kentucky, third-round pick. Jets traded up to get him. They were ecstatic. So what about your philosophy of refusing to just go down after a catch?
There's a lot of receivers in the NFL that see him catch the ball and immediately get down. They catch the ball and they run out of bounds.
No doubt.
You don't do that.
Nah, that ain't me.
Yeah. So why? Like, what about you makes it seem like you crave the physical aspect of the
game? I just love football. I think I love football and I love life. And I think that part of my calling card is to be a good football player. And I think that the Lord has blessed me with some talents and abilities and a confidence that I'm out of this world. And I think that every time I get the ball in my hands, you know, I'm just ready to punish somebody every single time I get it. That's just that's the way I like to play the game. Getting in the weight room and getting stronger and being physically outmatching guys, you know, knowing that defensive backs don't really want to tackle and you'll give it to a linebacker at the same time. So just every time I get the ball, I'm trying to make something happen with it, and just running through guys just my way of imposing my will.
Aaron Rodgers even offered to have him stay at his guest house, believe it or not, during the season. I mean, that's pretty good. You know, it's a nice gesture from somebody who, you know, some people in the media are saying, well, you know, Aaron Rodgers is horrible when it comes to treating young wide receivers, and he isn't good for young wide receivers. So I would think if you're extending somebody to stay, an invitation to stay in your home, I would think that would go above and beyond. But what do I know, right? How about Robert Saleh? He is the coach of the Jets, and, you know, he also has experience with Debo Samuel back in the days of the San Francisco 49ers, and he was asked if Mr. Malachi Corley could maybe just maybe be utilized like the Niners utilized Debo.
Watching how that kind of evolved, and obviously Kyle is extremely creative in that regard in terms of getting Debo the ball. And so there's a lot of tape out there. There's tape of a lot of receivers from a lot of different football teams and just finding ways to get them the ball in those non-conventional ways. But the good thing is, and what's been fun over this offseason, is the system is capable of doing anything we want it to do. It's just a matter of putting words to it and making it happen.
Lastly, from the Jets, a couple of the veterans talked to the media earlier in the week because they're there doing their workouts and their OTAs and that sort of thing. C.J. Mosley, the captain on the defense, took a pay cut to hang around with this team this year, and he said he really never gave it a second thought. He wouldn't have it any other way, but C.J. talked about the expectations once again for the 2024 Jets.
The sky's the limit, and, you know, we put our own limit on ourselves. So if you want to dream big and, you know, have those aspirations, then, you know, we have to train like it, you know, eat like it, study like it, you know, every single day, not just when we get to the building and, you know, not when we get to training camp. You know, this dream, this vision started a long time for a lot of us, and, you know, we've just been building up to this moment, and actually, obviously, it didn't go the way we wanted to. You know, we talked about that a lot, but we have another great opportunity to get on the field and do it again this year. So we just have to, you know, put our best foot forward and just keep working.
That is C.J. Mosley, and I'll tell you, the NFL season is going to be here before you know it. Yeah. We're going to find out the schedule coming up later this week. It's right around the corner. It really is. Not that we're rushing it. Not that we're rushing the summer or anything like that, but it will indeed be here.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is the Dan Grosse Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Wind Creek Bethlehem is your kind of fabulous. Enjoy Pennsylvania's loosest slots and most free play, plus live stadium gaming, a poker room, and the sports book powered by Betfred Sports. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Dan Grosse Show. We're rolling till noon on this Saturday. Then it's Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN. Real quick, before we get back to the phone calls, Rangers holding their final tune-up right now up in Westchester. Last practice before they get underway against the Canes coming up tomorrow afternoon. Lines are completely unvarnished and look exactly how they've been last couple of times out, of course. So no real changes to the lineup. And even though some people were freaking out completely that Adam Fox missed the practice because of, you know, what Laviolette told you, maintenance, Foxy's back out there on the ice today, matched up with Ryan Lindgren. So all is right with the world, and it looks like it's going to be the usual cast of characters for the Rangers as they get going tomorrow against the Canes. So no changes for those that were wondering about Philip Hedel possibly sneaking into the lineup, at least not for game number one. 800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. Let us say hi to Danny in Long Island. He is up next here on 98.7. Daniel, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. In the garden, tomatoes going in, sun blazing. What a day. And by the way,
nice.
You know, when you're on hold,
gardening.
So many things come up that you want to, I like to mention that. And it's just the show is so great. Like that whole thing with the work, out works, hustle, whatever that was. I noticed when my sons went to high school about 10 years ago, somebody must have invented the motivational T-shirt business. We're like, the road to construction, the road to success is always under construction. And I have to pay for this now, $20, so we can all wear the same T-shirt, you know, fundraiser. And most of the sayings sounded like two guys sitting around with a pipe. Okay, well, yeah, how about this one? This sounds good. You know, like, well, these wild, like deep thoughts.
Like the guy who invented the pet rock. Like, that was genius, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. We're gonna come up with these phrases. Two, the most important event, the pickleball. I'll say this. I play pickleball. Mm-hmm. I go to open events, which means I sign up. 20 people show up. There's 5 courts, and we rotate in and out. And every once in a while, I'm 58 years old, and everybody's most similar like that, men and women. Every once in a while, some 30-year-old man will show up who you don't have anything better to do than beat the hell out of me. So even if I'm technically as good as him, the physical difference, now, which I'm getting to Rick DiPietro, because I see Anita play. Anita's great. But she's about to have a ball hit at her harder than she's ever had in her life. I've seen the group she plays with. It's going to be a big difference. Amani is good. Dave, I don't believe he's going to have the mastery of the technique yet. He's going to have the enthusiasm. He might snap. There might be a racket thrown. He could go full John McEnroe during this
thing. The frustration's going to set in, absolutely.
Absolutely. That's what. And let's be frank. That's what we're all hoping for. Win, lose, or draw. If Rothenberg throws a racket, that's the story. I mean, that's what we're all hoping for, to be honest with you.
And for those that don't know, he actually, when he was as a youth, when he was playing tennis, he physically struck the kid on the other side of the net at the exchange afterwards where they shake hands. Dave took the tennis racket and whacked the kid in the head because he lost to him.
So last week we were talking about having conflicts of schedules of family events around sporting events. And I said,
yes,
I'm going to live in the moment. So I fly down to South Carolina last week to see two of my grandchildren down there. My son says to me, this is Thursday night, NFL draft, Knicks, Islanders. I bought tickets for the minor league baseball game, 7 o'clock start.
Oh,
I did? I look at him, I go, oh, great, okay, fine. I'm a man of my word. I'm not going to say a word. I go to this beautiful stadium. First of all, you buy 5 tickets, they tell you it's $40. Right away, you're in a good mood.
Right.
How much is the beer? $4. Thank you. Take 2. In the left field bleachers before the game even starts, I catch a fly ball for my grandson. I have the picture. So the sports gods rewarded me with a moment to last forever. Because I said, you know what? I'm going to ignore the NFL draft. That's a fake event anyway. I really want to watch the Knicks, but I can't. I'm here. I'm at the game with my grandkids. Catch a fly. I had to elbow out a 14-year-old travel team. One of the kids might need orthodontic work, but it was well worth it.
No, I think it's justified. If you got the ball, I think that you're fully justified in what you decided to do. Dan, thanks for the phone call as always. Here's the thing. And when you were setting up that story, I was thinking to myself, okay. And I remember that night, right? You had the NFL draft, you had the Knicks, you had probably playoff hockey, if I'm not mistaken. I think the Islanders were probably playing that night. You probably had baseball, Mets or Yankees or something. Where it got risky for Dan is that he decided to then introduce another thing into the conversation, which was minor league baseball. Like, it's hard enough. Like, that night, it was a pain. Like, my head is spinning around like the Exorcist, trying to keep track of everything that was going on. And we had the Knick game, and I was doing the Knick game that night, so it was really hard. And then he decided to throw minor league baseball into the mix, which is just one more obstacle that you have on your sports plate for the night. That is tough. What do you think the odds are, guys, that there is going to be, like, somebody losing their cool at the event tomorrow?
I think you got to put it, like, 3-1.
Most likely.
That's a guarantee for me.
Yeah, it's bound to happen. Because, see, even though I think that Anita and Amani are going to win, I don't think it's going to be, like, one-way traffic. Like, it's not going to be, a complete annihilation. I do think that there will be a little back and forth in this. There'll be some competitive features, and that's all you want in these situations, right? You want something that's watchable. Imagine if it's a sweep. Imagine if they just take the first 3 and then that's it. Done. Finished. Goodbye.
Dave, like, might be in Guantanamo Bay.
That's what I mean. Like, you didn't even get your money's worth. Like, for the people that, like, trekked out and everything, like, if it's over in 45 minutes... Or you imagine if there's, like, a walkover, if, like, one of them has to, like, ask out, like, you know, or there's, like, an injury or something, and they can't even, like, finish the mat. That would be, oh, awful. Never going to hear the end of it. They're never going to hear the end of it. I hope that doesn't happen. Let's say hi to Franny. He's in Massapequa. He's up next here on 98.7. Franny, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, babe. What's up? How you doing?
Living the dream, baby. Living the dream. What's on your mind, bud?
I called up the other day, just real quick before I get into it with you. One of the other shows, and I had mentioned that this is great for the Knicks experience, and they kind of took it the wrong way, thinking I wanted them to lose in the last game and then maybe play a seventh. That's not what I meant. Every minute they play right now is a plus for next year or what's to be, you know, in the future. That's all I was saying.
I agree. I agree, especially if this group, and we would think, majority of these guys aren't going anywhere, of course this is going to help you. You learn the lessons along the way.
Yeah, no, I think we got 2 or 3 years with the Villanova crew because you know how friends are. Once you play together, it's great, but once a couple of things happen, so I say we got at least 3 years, maybe 4 years of just – unbelievable basketball, and I'm really happy. We need Randall back. People will say, I was at a card game last night. The guy tells him, crazy, we don't need Randall back. I'm like, bro, where are you getting 20 and 10 and a beast going to the rim? That's what the kid needs right now. He's 40 points and nothing else. You know, DiVincenzo for 2 games was under the bed, and then the last game he came up big. But I just love the direction of the Knicks. But I want to talk to you about this pickleball. You got three athletes and Dave. And nothing could be sweeter than betting on Armani and Anita. I mean, and forget it. I'll give you 2-1 on lunch that they're going to smoke them. It's not even going to be close. Anita's a friggin' professional.
Yeah.
The guy called and said, oh, the guy, she's going to have the ball hit as hard as – what do you mean you're going to have as hard as you – what, do you think she's scared of the ball being hit hard? Anita's a professional. Professional. They're going to thrash him, and I'm looking to make my way there because I'm a little pissed at Rick and Dave. I was supposed to be the water boy, but they're too big for that, I guess. But anyway.
Did they go in a different direction? Did they hire another water boy, or they're just going sales water?
I don't know what they did, but they said yes, yes, yes. It was one of those, it was an FAN thing. Yes, 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 and it never happens. So that's all right, but I love those guys. Their show is great. They're getting thrashed tomorrow. Anita and Armani, you're talking about a professional athlete. So Armani and Rick, let's just say, wipe each other out. Just say it. Is that fair enough?
It's a wash.
Anita is that's like Judge and Ogleback on the Mets last year. That's what it's like comparing. Anita is Judge and Dave is Vogelback.
Well, think about it. Like I said early, and Fran, thanks for the phone call. Good to see that you're going to be able to get out there. If you're practicing against the couch on the other end of the net, what good is that doing you? Right? And this is – tomorrow's not going to be the last you're going to hear of this too because I'm in with Dave, I think, Thursday and Friday of this week. Okay? So this is not going to be the last we talk about this match. I want the in-person, first-hand account when I'm on with Dave for a couple of days later in the week. So this is, believe me, this is going to be explored, analyzed, overly scrutinized, 6 ways to Sunday and then some. And if it doesn't go the way that they want it to, they're never going to hear the end of it. I mean, you know how the game is played. Come on.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Dan Grosser Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Has Anita been talking a lot of smack about the pickleball game? Like on the air? Or not really?
That might change today, but
might
not
change
really.
Today. Yeah, so, you know, and I appreciate that. She's like, it's like, I'll let my play do the talking because she's confident. You know, I think she knows what she's up against, and I think she feels pretty confident that they're going to find a way to get the job done, as do I. Congratulations are in order to the Colorado Rockies. So we give them a round of applause. Colorado, who is the worst team in the National League this year, they are off to an 8-24 start. They had a infamous record that was snapped last night because we had talked about it earlier in the week when they set a modern-day record, and it is finally over. Colorado finally played their first game of the season last night, which was the 32nd game of the year, and for the first time, they never trailed in the game. They were the first team in Major League history to go the first 31 games of the season and trail in every single one of those games until last night. So Rockies are on to bigger and better. I smell a winning streak coming. I'm kidding, of course, but what a hopeless franchise they are right now. And, you know, it's so many sins have been cast with that franchise and to get them to the point where they are right now, like giving Chris Bryant that contract, among others, a couple of off seasons ago. Like, they are getting nothing out of that. And it was just where they were in their development, there was no need to fork over that type of money and investment in a guy like that and what he could potentially provide to that franchise. Also, I don't know if you guys saw it last night, if you're watching the Met game, what do we think about the Tampa Bay Rays City Connect uniforms, which debuted last night? I kind of put them alongside the Mets ones in the fact that I don't love them, I don't hate them, and I've seen worse. Is that fair?
I like them better than the Mets ones, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I do. The only problem that I have is the numbers.
Well, they have a little bit more color than the Mets ones, like with that fluorescent, yes, type of green and stuff.
And I also like the contracts with the arm sleeves and stuff. And I really like the helmet. I like the purple on the helmet. I think that works for me
personally.
It's
a cool little, I like the logo, the cool little, like, you know, Devil Ray, Stingray, whatever logo. I think that's kind of cool. The only thing that would drive me crazy, and, well, I guess they're not wearing them again tonight, although who knows? Maybe they're going to be like the Mets and now wear them like every game. But next time you see them, it must be hell for a broadcaster trying to pick out names and stuff because the numbers on the back of the jerseys are the same exact color, that like dark gray, as the rest of the uniform. So the numbers don't even like pop. Like if that was football, for example, and you're trying to call from like, or hockey from a distance, it would be damn near impossible. Thankfully, baseball moves at a lot slower speed, so you could kind of, you know, take some time and identify, but you can't even like pick out the numbers. But Nike doesn't care about those things when they design the uniforms. They could care less.
And I also don't hate the black pants. I think that's the only uniform where the black pants work.
Is it a black pants?
Well, it's the same color as the top, and it's like a kind of charcoaly black uniform.
And did you notice, too, they have like a real thin, tiny, singular stripe. I don't know. Do you call it a stripe? I don't know. Like going down the side of the uniform, like the pants and everything. And if you look closely, it's almost like rainbow colored. It's supposed to be like a takeoff, also like incorporate almost like a skateboard type element to it, which I don't know if like the Tampa area is like famous for that. I have no idea. I'm not up on Tampa culture. But I think that was also,
it's like their old uniforms, like the old Devil Ray uniforms when they first came in. Yeah.
Not as like wacky.
No, not as gimmicky, just like the right. Marlins. Remember when they moved to Miami? They had the orange uniforms and all that.
Those were awful. The ones that, like, the Marlins man guy wears, yeah, on the behind the plate. I think that it's funny because, like, the Devil Rays, like, they, you know, they were a laughingstock when they joined Major League Baseball. And for a good number of years, they weren't even, like, big league caliber. You know, it wasn't until they dropped the Devil and they just went to the Rays where they became, you know, a team that started winning games and taken seriously. And then they went to the World Series in 2008. But yeah, when I, like you said, looking at these uniforms again, like you just think Devil Rays, and you think about a franchise that, like, what was the point of even having them, you know, for as long as they were? You know what it was? It was a team that when they came into the American League East that the Yankees and the Red Sox would just beat the hell out of, and you chalk it up to, you know, between 15 and 20 wins a year when you play them. That's what it was. Let's say hi to Richard. He is in Manhattan. He is up next here on 98.7 ESPN. Hello, Rich. How are you?
Good, Dan. Where were there more fans last night?
Mm-hmm.
Yankees Tigers in Yankee Stadium or Phillies Giants in Philadelphia? Where were there more fans?
I was watching a little bit of that Philly game because it was the Apple TV game, so I had it on the iPad.
40,000 in Philly, 37,000 at Yankee Stadium. So Philadelphia, you know, the problem is the basketball team has not captured the fans' hearts. And I say after Iverson left, they lost a lot in Philadelphia with basketball.
Well, you know what another reason for that is, Richard, with the attendance for last night's game? Remember, Giants are in town. They only make one trip into town all year, and you still have, I know that, you know, a couple generations removed, but you still have a lot of Giant fans in this area that when the Giants come to the East Coast, the fans try to see them as many places as possible.
Phillies have the second best record in baseball, and their big four, Schwarber, Harper, Castellanos, and Realmuto, all combined hitting .210, those four guys. They're amazing. They're the hottest team in baseball.
You know why? Because they pitch as good as anybody. And you know who the pitcher of the month was in the National League in April? Rangers Suarez.
Yep. Yeah, of course. Now, Stroman did a good job yesterday in 7 starts. He's pitched very well in 5 of them. But Boone has been winning these games, and I'll tell you why. And I'm always critical of Boone's relief choices, but what he did yesterday, 2 out of the 3 relief pitches he took out in the middle innings. Well, he took out in the middle of the inning. He took out Stroman, and that was good. And Stroman gave him a good start. Hamilton he took out in the middle of the inning, and then he took out Gonzalez in the middle inning. And what he did, too, was not only did he take him out and let them pitch the inning, and then he let him pitch the next inning, which I love. So each of the 3 relief pitchers pitched more than 15 pitches. I hate to see them take out a guy after 7 pitches. I mean, Jesus, you don't even have to wash the uniform after 7 pitches. That's stupid if the guy pitches effectively. And Dan, one last thing. I'm hearing a lot of talk on Randall, and it's inappropriate now to talk about it, but this is my feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball is a team sport. Randall does not fit in right now with the way the Knicks are playing. Everyone's saying 20 and 12, 24 and 14, what he gives you. Yeah, he wouldn't give you those numbers the way they're playing now. And this is how I would be thinking if I'm
Leon. What do you mean the way they're playing now?
They use Hart a certain way. They use Anunoby a certain way. Basketball is like a symphony. You have to play together. If the Knicks would have, when they made the trade for DeBusschere and kept Bellamy, who was averaging 22 and 14 for them, he still wouldn't have been starting for the Knicks because the fit. Willis Reed went from forward to center. Basketball is a symphony. It's parts related. Now, it's true they don't have enough players. Here's my thinking on Randall. He can come back. He should come back. But in a reduced role, my opinion is right now he'd have to come back as a bench player, come as a 6th man. Now, I know he won't like it, but that's my feeling. He is not the man. They can't play the way they played with Randall on the court the way they're playing now. That's the way I see it.
Rich, I got to be honest with you, and I thank you for the phone call, my friend. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. I disagree with that because we know that Randall's a ball-dominant guy. Some people accuse him of being a ball stopper. That's the term. In the playoffs, especially now, if the pace is going to slow down, as it does in the postseason, then that would suit somebody like him. And I know that his first couple of times in the playoffs with the Knicks, it didn't go great. Last year, he was injured. He was playing on 1 foot. That's not fair. But basketball is also positionless. Like, if you want to bring up DeBusschere and all that and once upon a time, did Red Holtzman in the playoffs only play 2 guys off the bench back then? You know? Think about how your rotations are completely shortened nowadays. You're playing 2 guys. You know, so most of your starters are logging heavy minutes. So to me, if you can get one of your main cogs and have him out there at your disposal. Look, let me ask you a question. If you're a Knicks fan, would you rather, if Tibbs is only going to play 7 guys, would you rather see Julius Randle out there for 40 minutes a night? Or would you rather see, since he's coming off the bench, you know, Deuce McBride or Mitchell Robinson playing all those minutes? I'd rather take my chances with a guy who's an all-star multiple times over and all-NBA 2 out of the last 3 years. Take my chances with him.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is the Dan Grosser Show on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, let's set your lineup here for what you have to work with as a sports fanatic for the rest of the day. Yankees, Tigers coming up at 1 over in the Ball Yard in the Bronx. You got Clark Schmidt, Casey Mize. Mize, remember, back from Tommy John surgery. He was the number one overall pick in the draft once upon a time, and a guy who was really supposed to be kind of like the anchor of all those young arms the Tigers were bringing in instead, really hasn't gotten it going, doesn't have the overpowering stuff that maybe he was as advertised to possess when he was the number one overall pick. Instead, Tarek Skubal has kind of been the guy now for Detroit. But Schmidt for the Yankees, we'll see if they can win another one. Mets tonight with Christian Scott, his debut, looking forward to that. And, of course, it's a Fox game, so you don't even get, you know, Gary and Keith and Ron on the call for Christian Scott's debut. Instead, it's going to be on Fox. Harvey's all jacked up for the Red Bulls tonight. They are down in Miami to take on Messi, the Iron Man of soccer, apparently. He will be in the lineup tonight. That is a 7:30. As far as the playoffs are concerned, you got Game 1, Round 2 in the Western Conference, Nuggets-T-Wolves. That is a fun old series. That should be a blast. And you're going to hear it right here on 98.7. That comes up at 6:30. And then you got a game number 7 in the NHL in the Eastern Conference, Toronto-Boston up in Beantown. Both of those fan bases probably feeling a little bit tortured. Certainly the Leafs, because they haven't won a cup since 67. But Boston, remember, the surprise ouster in round number 1 last year. If they get disposed in the first round 2 consecutive years, that is not going to sit too well for those fans up there in Beantown, especially when you consider their former coach, remember, who they kicked to the curb, Bruce Cassidy, who won a cup last year with Vegas. His team rose to the occasion last night and forced a Game 7 against the Dallas Stars. All right, let's close it out with you guys on the phones. Let us say hi to Ricardo in New Jersey. He is up next here on 98.7. Ricardo, what's going on, my friend?
Dan, how are you, sir? Listen, I was listening to Ron yesterday, and got a lot of people calling you about Julius Randle, correct? About how he won't fit with the team.
It was like an epidemic.
Dude, I try to get on, busy, and I was just screaming on the show. And I see it is. It's the first time, second time I hear you, actually. And, you know, I just fell in love with you. Just want to let you know that.
Ricardo, it's mutual. The feeling is mutual. I can feel the love through the phone line right now already. It's pulsating.
When I heard all of that, I was one of those let's trade Julius Randle now type of person. I also hated the trade for OG. I hated it. But then when I saw the gelling, the way things were working, how the pieces were moving, dude, Julius Randle is a phenomenal fit for the team right now. And it's unfortunate that he got hurt to see where he would have gone, because that ball would have been so controlled, so spread out. Imagine him, Devo, Julius Randle playing the power forward, maybe even the small forward. You got Mitchell or Hardenstein. Man, come on. The Knicks would have demolished a lot of people, especially with the way that they were gelling before he got hurt. And for people to sit there, yo, Knicks fans, listen to yourselves. You're selfish. You stop being selfish. Enjoy what we got now. The guy's a 3-time all-star, 3 years in a row. He's been an all-star. We've been begging to trade an all-star player. And now we want another all-star? Come on, stop being selfish. I got to say, man, I wish Julius Randle was playing right now. Knicks probably would even sweep Indiana if he was playing, because it would have been so jealous.
Rick, I agree. Rick, I got to run, but I thank you for the phone call. You get back to us. I agree with you. Again, people have short memories. They don't remember what was going on in January when OG was here and everybody was healthy and they were just steamrolling opponents. Not to say that would have carried over, but here's the other thing, too, about Julius Randle. And remember this for a second. Last year, okay, he was hurt in the playoffs. I get it, right? But this would have been the first time in a postseason, if he was healthy, as a Knick, that Julius Randle was not going to be the number one. And would your perception of Julius Randle been altered in any way that he was not the go-to guy? Because Jalen Brunson has taken over that mantle. It's his team. And this is not a knock or shade on Julius in any way, but the facts are the facts. Brunson is just that special. So now you look at Randle a different way. Instead of being the guy and the one who has to lead and carry this offense, yes, he's an all-star. Yes, he has talent. Yes, you expect him to do certain things, but he ain't the go-to guy every single time down the floor. But you know what he else is? He's somebody that the opposing defense has to at least pay attention to. And so you can't focus all of your energies just on Jalen Brunson, because now you got another guy who is capable of doing damage to you. And that's what the Knicks miss right now. When you step onto that floor Monday night against the Pacers, you know what you're getting from Jalen? There's still question marks about every other guy in that lineup. You just don't know what you're getting from them, at least offensively. It was great to see DiVincenzo show up when they needed him most against Philadelphia. How many times are you going to get that against Indiana and moving forward through the playoffs? That's what you miss not having a Randle. That was a fun one today. We are done. Thanks to Harvey and thanks to Joe. Anita's coming up next. I'm taking tomorrow off. We'll talk to you again on Monday before the Knick game. Grasso saying so long on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, thank you for the full vehicle today.